Amen. Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 33, 119, verse 33. The Word of God says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the paths of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, today we have a prayer here of for understanding and knowledge. And Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will teach us your ways. God, show us the things that are you want us to do and walk therein. And God, we give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Today, the psalmist here is crying out for understanding. He's out guidance in his life. Folks, we need understanding, don't we, in our life? We need guidance to know how we're to live our life. Well, the Bible tells us to focus on the eternal things of God and not on the material things of this earth. Now, we're going to look at passage 33 through 40, and I want you to look at this and just see today how we can gain understanding, how we can gain the guidance in our life that the psalmist asked God for in his life. He says, "Teach me, O Lord, thy ways and thy statutes, thy laws, and I shall keep them until the end." He's crying out for something in his life. He's crying out for instruction. He's crying out for guidance on how he is to live his life. "Teach me, O Lord, how to practice thy laws, and I will observe them with my whole heart." Now, one thing for sure is, if we're to live like God wants us to live, if we're to live in the ways of God, the understanding and the knowledge of God, if we're to find out God's will for our life and live like that, He, through the Holy Spirit, which is the teacher, the Holy Spirit, Christ gave us to teach us. And He will quicken these things to our heart if we ask Him to. And the psalmist is crying out here for the Lord to teach him these things. Now, I know and you know that we do not need instruction on how to sin. Folks, that just comes naturally, doesn't it? We are sinners by nature. When Adam sinned, we all sinned, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5. We're sinners by choice. Nobody makes us to sin. We choose to sin. Adam and Eve, we know that they disobeyed God. It was their choice. They didn't have to, but they chose to disobey God. We know that nobody tells us that we how to sin. It just comes naturally by our conduct. It is natural for a man who is in his darkness, in his life, to be disobedient. You see, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That means everyone, every born person today is a sinner by nature, by tendency, and by choice how we live. We do not have to be told how to sin. We do that. And we do it, and it is disobedience to God, isn't it? When we sin, it's disobedience to God. Now, the psalmist understands that we must be instructed in the things of God. We must be taught in the things of God. We are blind, the Bible says. We're blind in our lives, and sin is in our lives, and we have darkness in our lives all around. It reminds me of a man named Saul. He was on the road to Damascus, and God struck him down there and blinded him, and he changed his name to Paul. But Saul, or Paul, whichever one you want to say, was walking in darkness. He knew the law. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, the Bible says. He was instructed in everything of the law, and yet he walked in darkness, and it was on that road to the Damascus that he saw the light of God, and it opened up his eyes, and God gave him understanding. You see, he thought he knew God, but he didn't know God at all. Some of you are here today, and you're like Paul. You're walking, you think you know the Word of God, you think you know God, but you really, inside, do not know God at all. You see, you're blinded. Oh, the Bible says that we need to know God in the light of His Word. We need to understand the things of God, and that's what the psalmist is crying out here. You see, it doesn't matter how bright the light may be. If you're blind, you can't see it, you see. And the Bible says we're in our sin, we're blinded to the truth of God. And the psalmist is praying for God to remove the darkness in his eyes and give him the understanding of the heart. Give him that knowledge of God. He says, Lord, teach me thy ways. And when you teach me your ways, Lord, I will keep them to the very end. Folks, that's what we need in our life today, is just say, God, here am I. I'm a sinner, and I need understanding. I need your guidance in my life. Now, he says in verse 34, give me understanding. In 33, he says, teach me your laws. And then in verse 34, he says, give me understanding, and I shall observe your law with my whole heart. Here, in this passage of Scripture, not only does he pray for perception, he also says, Lord, I will act upon your word. I will act upon the understanding of your word with enthusiasm. Now, how many of you do that? How many of you got up this morning and said, praise God, it's Sunday morning, I'm so excited about going to church? None of you. Nobody did, didn't they? You didn't raise your hand. Somebody said they did. But you know, that's the way it ought to be on Sunday morning. I know sometimes you have to be drugged to church, you know. That's our attitude many times. The psalmist said, Lord, you give me understanding of your law. You let me understand you. And Lord, I'll obey your word with enthusiasm. With my whole heart will I serve you. See, he says, I'm so excited about God. I want to serve God with all my heart. There should be so much enthusiasm in this church. Folks, we ought to be excited. Some of you don't look like you're excited. You don't. But you know, it's excited. Some of you a while ago thought, well, when he talked about taking an offering, well, I don't want to take an offering, man. I don't give my money. But you know, it ought to be exciting to give back to God. You see, that ought to be joy in taking an offering. It ought to be joy in your daily walk. It ought to be joy when you read God's word and it speaks to your heart. That is what a Christian is all about. Now, how can we have enthusiasm when we kind of sit there and sleep our way through the church? You can't, can you? You've got to want to understand God's word. You've got to really say, Lord, teach me and give me understanding. You see, and be excited about Jesus Christ. Now, there's a gap in what we say we believe and what we really believe and how we live. A lot of people are not too excited about doing God's word. A lot of people are not too excited about serving God. It ought to be a joy to serve God in God's house. Look at verse 35. He says, therein do I delight. He said, you know, I delight in God's word. You see, Lord, make me walk in the paths, your commandments, for I delight in your commandments. And folks, when he says, I delight in your commandments, he's talking about the joy of his Christian life. You see, it's the joy. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a joy of salvation. And most of the people that come to church today act like and look like they're on death row. You see, it ought not be that way. It ought to be a good time. We ought to be singing. And I believe we ought to clap our hands and enjoy the music bowl when it's happy and we're happy on the inside. You see, that's the way it is in a Christian life. We ought to delight in doing what God wants us to do. Now, the old devil says, don't do that. You come into church, you got to sit there and be sad looking. You got to look like you're holy. There's nothing holy looking about sitting there looking sad. You see, I didn't wear my coat this morning. Teddy put me to shame. But you know, that coat doesn't make me any holier up here. You see, it's what's on the inside of a person, folks, that makes them right with God and holy in their life. And the devil says, oh, brother, if you join that church, they're going to ask you to serve Jesus. And people say, well, I don't know if I want to do that or not. But you know what? If you don't want to serve Jesus after you're saved, something's wrong with your salvation. You see, I serve Jesus because I'm happy in Jesus. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. And you know, it is light. When we serve out of a joyful heart, when we serve with all our heart, when we're praising God for guidance and understanding, folks, we obey his word, and it is a joy to serve God. Whatever pleasure there is in sin, the Bible says, it's just for a season, and then it's over. And then what happens? Well, after that season of pleasure, death. For the wages of sin is death. Death means eternal separation from God. If you're living in sin, if you're serving the devil with your life, let me tell you, you may think it's fun right now. But let me tell you, the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. An eternal separation. What are you going to do when you die? I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you're not saved, you're going to go to eternity lost in a place called hell. The Bible says it's hot there. You know, there's nothing but suffering there. You don't want to go there. It wasn't created for man. It was created for the rebellious angels and that rebel, the old devil himself. But God says that's where man's going to go if you don't trust him as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you trust him this morning as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you're going to have eternal life. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but the choice ought to be pretty obvious. I want eternal life. I want to serve God in a happy state all my life. And that only comes through obedience to God. Now, folks, I know life is short. I turned around the other day and I was just 13. Now I can't jump fences like I used to. I used to like to run and jump fences. I did until I caught my pants on the barbed wire fence and ripped them. And there's a price tag to that, because back when I grew up, a pair of pants was, you only got maybe two, if you were lucky. And when you tore them doing something stupid, well, you know, I don't know about y'all, but we had patches back then. You remember those little iron-on patches? Man, Mama ironed that thing on there. I thought, man, that's ugly. And she said, well, you shouldn't have been trying to jump fence. Well, you don't wear that to school very often. Then you learn not to jump barbed wire fences. But you know what? Some of us, we try to get through life like that. We just patch up our lives. We try to do that and do this and do that and say, well, I'm going to make it to heaven somehow. You're not going to make it to heaven unless you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's only two choices, you see. You either die in your lostness and sin, or you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in obedience to him and obey his commandments. You know, when we are saved, let me tell you something. When we're saved, it means repentance. A lot of people don't understand that today. I was talking to Brother Bill about that this week. A lot of people just walk down the aisle and say, okay, I joined the church. I'm saved. I'll go out and live like I want to. Well, that's not salvation. Salvation is repentance. When you're sorry for your sin, for how you disobey God, and you're so sorry in your sin that you want to turn from that sin and live a life pleasing to God. I wanted to obey my father. I wanted to please my father when I was growing up, and it was the greatest satisfaction I could have when I was found obedient to what he asked me to do, and he praised me for it, and he rewarded me for it. But you know what? When I didn't obey him, it was a sad day when that judgment time came. Folks, I want to obey God, the Heavenly Father, just like I obeyed my earthly father. And I want to lift his name up. I want to joy in Christ Jesus. And that comes by obeying his commands with my whole heart and walking in his commandments. That's simply the words of God. We walk in the ways of God. We learn the ways of God. He says, teach me your ways, Lord. Instruct me in your ways, Lord. And make me go in your commandments. For that's where I find delight in serving you. And folks, when you're doing that, when you're learning God's word, when you're understanding God's word, when you're walking in his commandments, the Christian life's going to be a joyful life. You won't have to get up on Sunday morning. Your wife won't have to say, get up, honey, you got to go to church. You won't fight on the way to church. You know, you won't complain about it. You'll just come on to church because you're serving God. You're going there to worship God. It's not going to matter what kind of music played up here because you're serving God. It's not going to matter because Brother Bill asked you to turn off your cell phones because that's what you ought to do. You're serving God. You see? You're giving God your full focus. And you can't do that if your mind's on something else. You see? The psalmist said, Lord, teach me, give me understanding, and let me walk in your commandments. And then look what he says in verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Oh. Incline my heart to your testimonies. And not covetousness. He's simply saying, turn away my eyes, Lord, from beholding things that are worthless, vanity. Turn my eyes away from that. And quicken thou in me your ways. Now, there's two kinds of preoccupations here. There's covetousness and vanity. And first, he says, he warns about the covetousness, dishonesty. Incline my heart, he says. You see, there's two choices. We're to turn our heart to God, like the psalmist asked him to, or we will turn our heart to covetousness. That simply means material pursuits. Material pursuits. Friends, if we want things that will last, the Bible says, seek those things which are of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. All the other things in life. Folks, we're to incline our heart, turn our mind on the spiritual realm. So many of us today are walking in the physical realm. All we think of is the physical. How can I entertain myself? How can I get ahead in this world? All we're looking at is self, self, self. We're material-minded today. And God says, no, no, no. Turn your eyes away from the world and put them on the spiritual realm. You see? Most of the time, what? Our eyes are focused on the material, and God wants us to focus on him. Simply serving him day by day by day. See, that's easy, isn't it? It's easily said. But let me tell you, the old devil is real. He's out there and he wants to ruin your life. He wants to drag you down. He wants to just put you asunder. If you're a Christian, he wants to stomp out your testimony for God. If you're lost, he wants to drag you into the pits of hell with him because he don't want to go there by himself. He wants to destroy your life, and that's what he's doing across our world today, across our society today. We've got to turn it around. We've got to get our mind focused on serving God right here. At this point, there's a lot of Christians that are miserable. They're miserable people in their Christian walk because right here, they're not observing the right things of God in their Christian life. They're walking the way the world walks. And as a Christian, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to have the joy of the Christian life if you're out there walking the way of the world. Folks, if you're a Christian, don't be out there cussing. Don't be out there running God's church down. Don't be going to places of the world. Somebody said, "Preacher, does it shock you when you find out that some of your members are at nightclubs?" I said, "No, I don't. I'm not. They're members, all right, but they're not members of God's church." You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, "In that day, many are going to say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we know you? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that?'" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Folks, there's a lot of people in our churches today, and you may be one of them right here. I don't know your heart. Only you and God know that. But if you're sitting there and you're walking the way of the world, you're doing the things of the world, man, I want to tell you, our churches are giving way today that whatever feels good, just do it. It's not right, folks. It'll never be right. But yet our churches are full of people today that are having premarital sex, having adulterous affairs, watching pornography on the internet, taking drugs, doing all kinds of things that are displeasing to God. And yet they come on Sunday morning and they say, "Lord, we want revival." But they don't mean it in here. Folks, we've got to focus our mind on God and start doing the right things. Perhaps many of you just keeping rules. You see, that's what Paul was doing. He was just keeping rules. And he thought that was what God wanted him to do. That was what his religion taught him to do. But let me tell you something. He was wrong. And God opened his eyes and he turned his heart towards him. And then he spent his life serving God. And I believe that happens in every born-again believer when we are truly saved. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're not going to go back and live in the world, but we're going to start walking in the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all of our life. That's what repentance is. I didn't say you wasn't going to sin. I didn't say you wasn't going to trip up and fall. But let me tell you something. When you trip and fall, when you fall into sin, the Holy Spirit that's alive in your heart is going to convict you so much that you're going to get on your knees before God and confess it. Amen. Right there and then. And if you don't have that kind of feeling in your life, you say that, "Well, it don't bother me to do some things." Well, let me tell you something. You're probably lost. Because the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is alive in your life. And the Holy Spirit convicts in your life. And if you're not being convicted, the Holy Spirit's not there. And without the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. You're not His child. If we want things that will last, we've got to look to the spiritual realm. and take our eyes and focus our eyes upon Jesus Christ and loving Him and serving Him with all our heart. And right here, many of the Christians don't do that. We are a me-type generation. We want our needs fulfilled, our desires, and we don't want any problems. And folks, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is full of problems, for we are going against the flow of the world. We're going against... You look over in the Bible. I love that little book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, folks. Every Christian, born-again Christian, confessed Jesus Christ. They didn't have an easy road out there. They went against the world. And the world is not like them. Just like the world crucified Christ, the world's going to crucify you. Jesus said, serve Him wholeheartedly. And let me tell you something. I love that reading that little Book of Martyrs. When those people died, everyone died praising God. Amen? Man, what a way to die, praising God, knowing that the victory was theirs. Soon as they closed their eyes in death, they opened them with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, never to have to leave His presence again. Folks, that's what death is, simply closing your eyes and opening your eyes in Jesus' realm. The heavenly realm where He is right now. He's seated at the right hand of God. He says, in my Father's house. It's a house, folks. I know it's there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place. And I got a place there, folks. I've got a heavenly home there. And I can't hardly wait to get there. The way time is passing by, it won't be long till I'm there. But you know what? I don't want you to not be there either. You're my earthly family down here. You're my family in the church. And I want every single one of you to know the joy and the happiness that will last all eternity. Yes, it may be hard right now. But folks, the blessings are coming in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Vanity. That means things that are shallow, things that are insignificant in life. The psalmist says, I want you to be sure what I'm looking at, Lord, is pleasing to your eyes. I want to have my priorities right in your life. And a lot of people, you know what they do? Today in our generation, they're just trying to hide their head in the sand like an old ostrich. Well, if I don't see it, maybe it won't bother me. It does bother me. It bothers me tremendously to see our town. It bothers me tremendously to see our generation. It bothers me tremendously to see our churches falling away from the living Word of God. Boy, we're just one step away from the judgment of God, folks. And it's coming soon. If I don't see it, I'll guarantee you it's going to happen. If I die, it's going to happen. Folks, God says it's going to happen. It will happen. Look at verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Now, fear simply means what? It means reverence to God. Lord, let me be in awe of your presence, devoted to you, understanding your word. Let me walk in reverence to your word. Let me be obsessed, God, with you. Oh, our God is an awesome God, folks. He is God. He's not the man upstairs. I hate to hear somebody say, well, I'm all right with the man upstairs. No, he's not the man upstairs. He is God, and you're not right with him or you wouldn't be saying that. You don't understand who he is. He's an awesome God. He's not your old buddy. He's God. He's the one that gave his son for you. And we ought to reverence him. We ought to reverence him in our life. We ought to reverence him in our worship. And Jesus says we're to come boldly through the throne of grace. When we do that, we should have a sense of awe about who God really is. Folks, he is the creator. He is the sustainer. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And everything in between, folks. And we should have a real sense of awe that wherever we go, guess what? God is there. Whatever you do, God sees and He knows what you do. And, you know, whatever we get, He gives to us. That ought to make us love Him. And today, more than ever, we see lighthearted, casually Christian people. And I'm not talking about casual dress either. I'm talking about the way they live their life, just a casual, oh, we're just going to make it through by the skin of our teeth. I wouldn't count on it. You need to reverence God with your life. 39 says, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Now, we ought to seek to identify with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. The reproach you get from the world is a good reproach if you're living for Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, let me turn away from thy reproach by, Lord, let me bring honor to your name, not dishonor to your name. That's what I want to bring, honor to the Lord. The psalmist didn't want to disgrace the Heavenly Father. Remember David? When David was out there in the world, he sinned. And let me tell you something. David, I believe, was saved. I believe with all my heart David was saved. And yet he sinned. David committed murder. David committed adultery. And yet his body, he said, my bones waxed old. That was the Holy Spirit down in his life saying, David, you can't live like this. You can't continue to do things like this. You've got to change. And David said, Lord, he said, I have sinned against you. He admitted his sin. And folks, let me tell you something. You go out there and you commit adultery. You go out there and you have premarital sex and the girl gets pregnant. Let me tell you something. Those are the consequences of sin. You're going to have to pay for those consequences. God will forgive. He forgave David. But David paid the consequences. And we have to suffer for the mistakes and the things that we do wrong. And be sure, the Bible says, that your sins will find you out. They're going to find you out. And he says, Lord, protect me from thy reproach. When we disgrace God, we dishonor God. If you're Christian, let me tell you something. It's got to grieve you. It's got to hurt you. Because it hurts God. And the Holy Spirit is God. He's there in your life. And there's conflict there. Just like David said, my bones are waxing old. I groan all day long because the Holy Spirit, which is part of his life, was grieving there. And he didn't have his life right. And it was only when he fell on his knees before God and said, oh, Lord, I have sinned. Wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me from my transgression, that God forgave him. Our priorities ought to never dishonor God. Never. Never. Don't ever do something that dishonors God, folks. He uses that word in verse 40 for revival. Behold, I long for your precepts. He said, Lord, I long for understanding. I long for guidance. I want you to come into my life that I might focus on you. And Lord, I want revival in my life. And he prays for the power of God to just come over his life and give him that revival in his life. One thing we need as a people, one thing I need as a person is revival in my heart. Revive us again, O Lord. Revive us. Draw us nearer, 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 precious Lord. That's what we ought to pray every day. Instead, our people are becoming calloused. They're living the way they want to. They're numbed by the things of God. And they're alive to the things of the world, and they're slowly running their testimony. They're slowly falling away from God. They're slowly dying inside. And the psalmist says, it's not enough just to know what he will do. It's we must do what he wants us to do, you see. Obedience to the word of God and revival can be seen in the Old Testament and the New Testament, folks. It was seen in Abraham's day, all the way through Moses, David's life, all the way to Revelation. Folks, revival in our hearts. And let me say something. You can believe all the right things, and you can give affirmation to all the right truths, and your life can still be as dead as a doornail if you're not doing what Christ wants you to do. I read an illustration one time about a young man who came back from serving his country, and he had lost his leg in the war. And somebody met him when he got back and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you've lost your leg." And he said, "I didn't lose it. I gave it. I gave it for my country." And folks, we ought to give everything that we have to Jesus Christ. We ought to give our life to Jesus Christ. We ought to spend our days losing the things of this world and giving to the things of God. If we want to know the true essence of Christianity, folks, God is love, and God, we ought to serve him out of that love that he gave for us. It's a fact that he has already given us everything that we need to make it through this life. He's given us everything we need to have joy. He's given us everything we need to have a vibrant life in Christ Jesus. He's given us those things. But let me tell you something. We're not taking them into our heart. And this morning, won't you pray, "Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Give me the understanding, and then I will just live in your word wholeheartedly. And Lord, make me walk in your paths and establish your word in my heart. And Lord, I'll be devoted to you." You see, he owns everything. Everything you see, God owns. Everything. Every person in here was created by God. Your life, he gives to you. You've got a choice this morning. You can either serve him or you continue to serve the devil. But let me tell you something. If you die serving the devil and you go to hell, don't ever say, "I never heard the truth." Because you have. If you haven't served God today with all your heart, would you do that? Would you, as a Christian, serve God with your whole heart? Everything about you. Just want to serve him. Just want to be happy in him. Just want to do for him. Every time I get a chance to go to church, I want to hear his word. I want to read his word. I don't want to come to church. I want to go there, man, happy in Christ Jesus. Would you do that in your Christian life? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ. The Holy Spirit's been convicting you. That little tingle in your heart right now that's saying, "You need to get right." That's the Holy Spirit saying, come to him by faith. Simply by faith, that's how you're saved. Not of your works. You're not going to be good enough. You don't have to know this whole Bible to get saved. All you need to know right now is that you're a sinner and Jesus is a Savior. And you're going to walk over here and say, "Lord, I want your salvation that you provided. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to start walking after your ways with my whole heart." Would you do that? Maybe some of you are here this morning and God's led you here and you're needing a place to serve. You're needing a place to have your membership. Would you come if God's led you here? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that only you can show us, Lord. Only you can give us that light that we need. And Lord, I pray for the darkness to be removed today from a person's eyes that is lost. Lord, that they might come wholeheartedly just to give their life to you. And Lord, I pray that our eyes as Christians are opened so that we might focus on you and not the material things, not the things of the world. And we'll give you the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.